Okay. On the next training, we're going to talk about analyzing deals, right? And I thought we would put this in here because as we move forward, you're going to be thinking about, you know, what am I going to do with this property? Now, a lot of people are going to be wholesale. You know, some people are going to be doing fix and flips. Some people may be ready to start landlording. Maybe they're going to do lease options or wholesaling lease options, Joe. So there's a lot of different things that they can do with the property. But I want to try to go through a few of the different things that you can do and the numbers and kind of share how to do it. And I'm a firm believer in keep it simple, right? I'm a firm believer in keeping it simple, right? I don't believe you should have, you know, a huge spreadsheet with multiple tabs just to analyze a deal. I mean, come on. I've said for years, if you need a calculator, it's probably not a deal. Okay. If you need a calculator to figure it, it's probably just not a deal at all. Right. It's probably not a deal at all. Right. So, in due diligence, we're going to go over how to figure ARV, how to estimate repairs, right, and closing costs and all that stuff. We're going to go over that. But right now, what I want to do is kind of go through some numbers on some different models that you can use as exit strategies in your small town investing, okay? And the first thing is let's talk about wholesaling, okay? Let's talk about wholesaling. Now, wholesaling is where a lot of people get started, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a great strategy. That's how I got started. Wholesaling. It's my first deal. And you know, it's funny you talk about making offers. If you need a calculator, I had no idea what I was doing. I couldn't get ARVs. I couldn't get comps because it was a small three family in a ho-dunk town in the middle of nowhere, a small town. And I didn't have any buyers. I couldn't get any comps. I had no idea what I was doing. I was so nervous. It had expired the year before for $140,000, right?
Wow.
And she was begging me to make an offer. And so I said, I don't know. I did the, well, I won't call it what I want to call it, but I said, I'll make you $50,000. I'll offer you $50,000. And she said, yes. I about fell over. I just pulled that number out of, you know what? And she said, yes. And then I thought, oh crap, what do I do now? And so I stuck a sign in the yard. I sold it for $65,000 the next day after all my costs. I made $13,000 on my first deal. And I didn't have comps. I just threw a number into the air and she said yes.
So it's you that's called the PFA method. You pulled it from the air.
Right. Sometimes you have to do that, right? What I wanted to do, Larry, is I wanted to overanalyze it because I was nervous and scared. I wanted to get into the computer and spend a couple hours looking at comps and looking at repairs. And I wanted to go drive the neighborhood, do everything I could except make an offer. But thank God, I was just frustrated because she wouldn't stop pestering me. And I just pulled a number out of the air and she said yes.
There you go. You know, I'm a firm believer.
Two things I want to say. You know, if you're not embarrassed by your offer, it's too high. Okay. If you're not embarrassed by your offer, it's probably too much. All right. Now, yes, will you miss a few deals by making sure you make a lot of money on a deal? Absolutely. You're going to miss a few deals. I'll be the first one to tell you. But the second thing I want to say is it's extremely important that your first deal be a home run. It's extremely important your first deal be a home run, guys. If you haven't done a deal yet, don't do marginal deals. Don't do marginal deals. You got to make sure that you are making money on your first deal, right?
That's really good.
That's very, very important. If you're not embarrassed by your offer, you've probably offered too much. The other thing I want to say about that is if a seller accepts your first offer, you've probably offered too much, right? Because you don't make the first offer to get a yes, you make the first offer to get a counter, right? If you get a yes, the first thing you should be thinking is, wow, I paid too much for this, right? You should get a counter and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until you meet in the middle, right? So
yeah, that's really good.
It's not unusual for me at all to say, you know, well, you're here, I'm here. I tell you what, if you can give a little bit, I'll give a little bit. Let's meet in the middle. and make it win-win for both of us.
Right?
Yeah, that's good. You got to be real careful about becoming the motivated buyer, because you want a deal so bad, you know, and you're hungry for money. You don't want to be the motivated buyer, and that's when you make mistakes. So don't try to turn a lemon into lemonade when it comes to making offers. And people are so afraid of missing a deal, right? But here's the thing that one of my early mentors told me. He says, there's a $1 million deal every day. So if you miss one, that's fine. Just relax. It's okay. Stay firm with your offer, because there'll be another one tomorrow. And if you're doing the right marketing and if you're continually making offers, you're going to find another deal later. So don't be stupid. And don't make too high offers. If you don't feel queasy and uncomfortable in your stomach when you're making that offer, you're probably offering too much.
Right,
right. You know, and that's very, very important. That's very important. Sometimes the best deal you'll ever do is the one you said no to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's just as important to know the ones to say no to, right? I have so many people that over the years have reached out to me and said, Larry, so-and-so's trying to sell me this house for X. What do you think? You know, well, what do your numbers say you can pay for it, basically, right? And I tell people all the time, this is very important, guys. Remember, I always have to repeat to myself, I buy houses. I don't get sold houses. I buy houses. I don't get sold houses. What somebody's willing to sell you a house for is irrelevant. What only matters is how much you are willing to pay for it. That's all that matters. Don't think that if somebody's willing to sell you a house for X, no. What do your numbers say you can pay for it? If you have to reach out to somebody and say, somebody's trying to sell me a house for this, what do you think? No, what do your numbers say, right? So remember, you buy houses. You don't get sold houses.
Right, Joe?
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. Don't be the motivated buyer.
So let's jump in. Let's jump into some wholesale stuff,
right? Let's jump into some wholesale stuff. So this is really simple stuff. You got ARV, right? That's after repaired value times 0.7, right? Times 0.7 equals, right? And then you minus repairs, right? Uh-huh. Minus out the repairs, and then you minus out your wholesale fee.
Yep.
Right? Equals your max offer. Now, you can also subtract. You can subtract closing cost if you want to. I don't do that. I used to subtract closing costs, taxes, insurance. Forget about it, right? I mean, I'm making anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 on a deal. Usually $10,000 to $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, you know, $20,000 average, something like that. So I'm not concerned about closing costs, okay? Some of them I assign, some of them I do a double closing, okay? If I assign the contract and I'm making $15,000, $15,000 is my net. I don't pay any closing costs because remember, I'm assigning my contract and my contract says the buyer is paying closing costs. So that's my buyer, right? Not me. It's my buyer. So if my assignment is $15,000, I make $15,000. Okay, so let's look at some numbers. Let's say ARV is $100,000, okay? Times 0.7, that's $70,000. Let's say repairs are $10,000, right? Now you're down to $60,000. And let's say your wholesale fee, let's say you want to make $10,000. Now you're down to $50,000, right?
Yep.
So that is your max offer right there. That is your max offer. So if you pay 50 for it, you're going to sell it for 60. They're going to put 10 in it. They'll have 70 in it, and it's worth 100. They have 30% equity. Very simple. You can do that in your head, right?
Very, very simple.
If you can't do it in your head, it's too complicated.
Yeah. Another way I like to do it, Larry, and I'm sure you already know this, but I'll take the three lowest sold comps, average them, multiply that by 80%, and that's my offer.
So okay.
The three lowest sold comps are going to be properties that need work, need rehab anyway, right?
That's
and
really good.
Average that number times 80%, and that's my offer. The other thing I want to add to that, Larry, is whatever number you calculate, you should compare that number to similar properties that are actively listed already in the MLS. So if you come up with an offer at 50, you better make sure there's no properties that are being advertised for 40, right? In that area. If there are, then you need to lower your price down to, you know, to 10, 20 grand less than that. So make sure you compare your number to the active listings in the area. Because, you know, one of the things I like to do, Larry, is think about how can I make this deal as attractive as possible to my buyers? And maybe if it's not the price, maybe it's terms. Well, if I know that my buyers can buy properties for 40 grand in the area, why am I going to sell mine for 50?
Right.
So you got to look at how can I make this deal attractive to what price would be attractive to them? And then I'm going to offer 10, 15 grand less.
Absolutely. You got to look
at the competition. I have wholesaled many, many, many listed houses that are on the MLS. I've wholesaled them below the list price. Yeah. Maybe it was listed for 60. I got it for 25 and I wholesaled it for 45. Right.
Beautiful.
So I've had, Joe, you're going to love this. I've had realtors buy listed houses from me that they could have made an offer on, but they didn't. They bought it from me because I made the offer and I got it down here and I wholesaled
it to them. And you know,
Larry, you're not afraid to offend realtors when you make offers that low. You're not afraid to offend HUD or, you know, whoever's working the short sale.
Well, HUD, you know, it's all computer, right? And I buy a lot of HUD houses. Many of you know I've written a book called HUD Homes Half Off, How to Buy HUD Houses for Pennies on the Dollar. But HUD is just a computer, so I'm not worried about them. But the realtors, we always start out our offer with a little cover letter, right? Yeah. And it says, I know this is a low offer. It's not submitted to offend your seller, but we've been very surprised at some of the offers that have been accepted, and we're just trying to get the negotiating process started, right? Our buyer is a cash buyer. They've bought many, many different properties, and they pay cash and close quick with no contingencies.
Right. Yeah.
So you soften it a little bit with that cover letter.
Absolutely. 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 And I like what you said about you look at what the low comps are. You know, we're going to get into due diligence later. And so I won't take up a lot of time on this. But when you're pulling comps, I mean, the simplest place to go is Zillow.com. First of all, forget the Zestimate. Okay. Zestimate means zilch. Remember that. Okay. Don't even tell me what the Zestimate is. I never, ever, ever even look at it. I don't even look at the rent Zestimate, okay? Because it's irrelevant, all right? So I look at the sold comps. There might be sold comps for 30, 35, 40, but there's also going to be some for 60, 65, 70. So I'll take 30, 35, 40. I'll take those numbers. I don't average them like Joe averages them, okay? It works for him. That's great. Everybody's got their own little system, and you'll develop your own too over the years. But what I do is I take those numbers, like even if I take the 40 and then I'll subtract the repairs out, right? I'll subtract out the repairs and that's my number, right? So it lets them know, okay, there's 30, 35, 40. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say your house is worth the highest price one here, right? Now, but you and I already agreed your house needs $20,000 worth of work. So 40 minus 20, that's a $20,000 offer. I really should probably be around 15, 17, but I'll go ahead and do $20,000, right? So that's how we come up with that number. So that's a second way to analyze a deal. So
that's really good.
Yeah, let's talk about rentals, okay? Let's talk about rentals because rentals are very simple as well. A lot of people will take the cash flow. They'll try to analyze this deal and the internal rate of return and all that. Man, I got to tell you, I don't do any of that. In small towns, most of the houses that are going to be rentals are going to be the little lower end houses, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, houses, okay? This is going to be so simple, it's going to blow your mind, okay? We base it on the income. In fact, when I get a seller on the phone and they say their house is rented, first thing I say is, well, rental houses in the area are based on what the rental income is, okay? And I can tell you a simple formula. I can tell you right now what your house is worth, okay? Because everybody is going to say something like, Well, my house is rented for $400, but you could get a lot more, right? Well, if you can get a lot more, why aren't you getting a lot more, right? Mm-hmm. It's based on the current income. Don't let somebody tell you, and don't even reach out to me and say, well, it's rented for $400, but you could get $600, right? If you could get $600, you'd be getting $600, right? Who's going to throw away $200 a month, $2,400 a year? Nobody, right, Joe?
That's really important because you hear that all the time. It's frustrating.
Right, right. And even that reminds me, sometimes you'll get a realtor on the phone and realtor's like, man, this is a great deal. I can't believe it's still here. I can't believe somebody is going to get this deal. My very first response is, if it's such a good deal, why haven't you bought it?
Yep, that's good.
Exactly, that's exactly. Good. Okay, so let's run the numbers. What I tell people is rental properties are based on the income. If it has an existing tenant, okay? If it's vacant, that's another story. But if it's got a tenant in it, right? And the tenant's been there for a little while, and it's a performing property, meaning the tenant is paying, right? It's not like they're getting ready to be evicted. But if it's got a tenant in it, we tell them the value is based on the rents, okay? And basically, the value is where the rents are 2% per month. 2% per month. So let me kind of give you an example. Let's say the rents are $1,000, okay? $1,000. If the rent is $1,000, $1,000 is 2% of what? $50,000, right? Right? So if the rents are $1,000 a month, that property is worth about $50,000.
Okay. You take 1,000 divided by 0.02 is what you're doing.
Right. Right. I mean, it's easy math. If it's rented for $400, it's worth $20,000. If it's rented for $500, it's worth $25,000. If it's rented for $600, it's worth $30,000.
Right.
Yep. That's good.
It. That's it.
Again, if the rent, so you could take your calculator, and let's say the rent's $750. You take $750 divided by 0.02. The most you can be in on that property is $37,500. That's what you're saying. And then you subtract repairs from that.
Let's keep it even more simple. If the rent is $600, right? What's half of six? What's half of six? Three. That's a $30,000 property. If the rents are $500, what's half of five? Two and a half. It's worth $25,000. If the rents are $400, what's half of four? $20,000.
That's simple. That's the max all-in price. Do you still subtract repairs from that?
You know, we always ask it if the property is rented. Well, are there any repairs that need to be made? Are there any repairs that need to be made? And most of them are going to say something like, you know, well, it could use this or it could use that. Or some of them will even say, well, the tenant's not complaining about anything right now. Right. So I know I can sell that property for about 1.5 times where rents are 1.5 times. Right. So sometimes you can buy them a lot cheaper than that. Okay. Sometimes you can buy them a lot cheaper. I bought 6 rental houses in Lancaster. I think I mentioned this on a previous module. And I paid $30,000 for 6 houses. They were bringing in $350 a month, right? That's like $5,800 a house.
Okay. So that formula there is your offer price. Do you subtract your wholesale fee from that as well?
I don't even do that because I know if it's a $25,000 house, I could probably sell it for $35,000, right? I could probably sell it for $30,000. I could probably sell it for 40 or 45, right? Now,
good.
I do start below. I mean, that's not going to be my first offer, right? If it's rented for 500 and I can pay 25, that's not going to be my first offer. My first offer is probably going to be in the low to or mid to high teens, okay? The mid to high teens, right? Okay. And I can go up from there if I need to, all right? So
simple.
It's very simple. It's very simple.
Right?
Now, what if the rent ranges, like what if the property will rent for $500 to $600 a month? You know, what number are you going to use then?
If it will rent for $500 to $600 a month, we don't use this method because there's not a tenant in it. Then we're going to look at repairs and all that. It's a vacant house then, right?
Okay.
It's a vacant house, right? Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so you've got the ARV, this method, and then you've got the percentage of rents if it's rented, okay? If it's rented. If it's a vacant property, you're going to use this, okay? Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, as you start doing this and talking to more people and building your buyers list and selling some of these deals, you will just learn. Like, I know in my seven counties, if there's a two-bedroom, one-bath house, I know I can buy it for $10,000 to $15,000. And I can sell that house for $25,000 to $29,900. I know that. Two-bedroom, one-bath house, built in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, 900 square feet, 800 square feet, 1,000 square feet, whatever, doesn't really matter. I know I'm going to buy that house for $10,000 or $15,000. You know, if it's a little nicer house, a little nicer area, I might pay $20,000 for it, but I could probably sell it for $35,000. Okay. So you will learn over time. You'll learn your market, whether it's a local market or a virtual market, but you'll learn your small town market and you'll know how much you can pay. And what I tell people, I always put the excuse off on a third party. I say, it's not like how much I'm willing to give you. It's, well, I could just tell you right now, two bedroom, one bath houses that are rented for $400, they're going for around $20,000. Right? Unless they need some work. If they need some work, subtract the work out. That's about what they're going for. If you want to sell it, whether it's to me or anybody else, you know, that's about what they're going for. You know, if you'd like to sell it, I got a simple one-page standard offer to purchase. I can get it out to you this afternoon. We can get you your money in 30 days or less. By the way, what do you plan to do with that money?
Yeah.
I get them thinking about the money. What do you plan to do with that money?
That's good. Gets their juices flowing, gets them excited about getting that money in their hands. Larry, exactly. Some people are listening to this and thinking, what if I make a mistake? Like, what if I offer too much? Am I destroyed? Like, am I going to have to buy it? Or what do you tell people then?
Our offer is a simple, and I tell, this is the way I say it, okay? We're going to talk about negotiating in another module, but this is the way I say it. You know, Joe, I've got a simple one-page standard real estate offer to purchase. Now, I say it that way specifically because I want people to understand it's a standard, simple, one-page real estate offer to purchase. Basically, it says, I'm buying your house for cash. I'm buying it as is where it is, and I'm paying all the closing costs. So in other words, the price we've agreed to is the amount of money you're going to walk away minus any taxes you owe, right? How soon did you want to get your money? I always end with how soon you want to get your money. What are you going to do with the money, right? That's so if you can't sell the property or you don't want to close for any reason, we always put up just $100 deposit. That's it. I don't even joke. My contract doesn't even have an inspection period, a contingency, any kind of due diligence period or anything. I don't have any of that, right? And my contract always gives me 90 days to close.
Yeah, that's cool. Can't wait to see it, Larry. We're going to cover that later.
Years and years of development.
Yes, we are going to cover all of that later.
Absolutely, we are. Absolutely. Okay. I want to spend just a minute here and talk about seller financing because, some people are going to be doing seller financing. And then Joe, you could talk a little bit about lease options as well, about analyzing deals for lease options as well. But with seller financing, what I try to do is I try to figure, okay, the first thing I want to do is figure what are the rent ranges, okay? If I'm buying a property and I'm going to sell or finance it to somebody else, okay? I'm buying it. I don't care if I'm using cash. if I'm buying it subject to taking over the mortgage, or I'm using private money, or I'm getting a new loan, whatever it is, okay? First thing I got to do is get the rent range, okay? Let's say the rents, well, I should probably erase some of this stuff. Let's say that the rents, okay, are around $600 to $800 a month. Okay?
Yep.
The rents are $600 to $800 a month, okay? So I'm gonna take the low end, okay? I'm gonna take the low end of that and I'm gonna figure a payment. All right. So you can get a financial calculator. You can get them for free online. You can get free apps, whatever, but you need a financial calculator, okay? So let's just take a look here. If I figured a loan, okay, if I figured a loan at 9% interest, and I always do 9%, okay, because of Dodd-Frank, CFPB, Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, everybody I've talked to said 10 or less. So I do 9, okay? I do 9. I want to stay under that, okay? So 9% for 240 months, which is 20 years, okay? 20 years at a payment of around 600, that's going to give you a loan amount of $666,686, okay?
Yeah.
Now what I do is I add in my down payment, right? What do I think I can get as a down payment? If I'm owner financing this house and I'm going to sell it to somebody, what do I think I can get down? Let's say I can get $5,000 down, okay? Which is pretty reasonable on a house around this size, okay? So yeah. I'm going to take this and add my down payment of $5,000, right? So yep. Now we've got $71,000, right? $71,686, yep. All right? Now, I'm not going to market a house for $71,686, okay? I'm just not going to do it. But what is a good number that's close to that, right? A good number that's close to that that sounds better? It's $69,900,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
So $69,900 is going to be my sell price minus $5,000, okay? Now I have a loan balance of $64,900, right?
Yep.
And if I figured at 9% for 240 months, that's a payment of $583.92 a month. Done this a few times, okay? So $583.92, by the time you add in your taxes and insurance, right? You've got another $100, right? Now you've got $683.92.
Yep.
$683.92. And guess what? It's still well within our rent range. Okay?
Perfect.
Still well within our rent range. Okay? Now, let me show you one more thing. How are we going to cash this deal out? Okay? Now we've got a note for $64.9. Bringing us in $583.92 a month, okay? So we could sell that loan, okay? We could sell that note. If we sold that note, all you do is keep your figures in your financial calculator and then change the interest rate from 9 to 12 and then push the PV button, present value, okay? And if we sold this note at a 12% yield, right, that would be $53,031, I believe, is what it is, right? So even if we sold it at 15% yield, which is what I like to figure mine, that's what I like to figure mine if I'm going to sell it, is, and it would be around 44,000. I think it's 44,344 or something like that. Let's just say 44.
How quickly can you sell that note, Larry?
The higher rate yield you can sell it at, the quicker you can sell it.
It doesn't have to be seasoned for a little while?
No. If you're selling to an institution, yes. If you're selling to an individual, maybe, depending on the individual, right? I sell notes, right? I've sold semi-performing notes, I sell semi-performing notes at 18% yield, right?
Wow, okay.
18% yield. And that means they're paying, but they're slow, okay?
Yep.
They're paying, but they're slow. So we've got to back into how much we can pay for this house. Remember, we're talking about analyzing a deal. If I could sell this note right away for $44,000, how much do I want to make on this deal? Okay? How much? Do what?
$15,000.
Okay. Minus $15,000, right?
Yes.
Minus 15. So 44 minus 15 is how much?
$29,000.
I started to say 31. $29,000. So if I pay $29,000 for this house and the rents are 6 to 8, right? I can sell it for $69,900. I can get $5,000 down. I can sell the note for $44,000 and I made $15,000. But wait, is that what I really made? No. What about my $5,000 down? I made $15,000 plus $5,000, right? So I made $20,000 on this deal, right?
I'm telling you guys, I don't know if you realize, like, it's not hard at all to buy a house that rents for $600 for $29,000. That's easy.
Easy.
Now, if you notice, the numbers are very simple. See, the rent's $600. I'm paying $29,000. 2% per month. Notice how it's very similar. Do you see that?
Yeah.
It's very similar. That's a good indication that you're on the right track. That's a good indication you're on the right track. Now, here's the thing. You can make more money when you sell it with seller financing and sell the note, but it's a longer process, okay? It's a longer process. You've got to buy the house. You got to have a way to fund the house, right? Private money, cash partner, credit partner, whatever, you know, hard money, whatever it is. You got to have a way to fund the deal. Then you've got to sell it with seller financing. If you do a lot of them, you got to comply with Dodd-Frank, right? And then you have to find a note buyer and sell the note. So it is a longer process, okay? But you're going to make 20 grand on the deal, right? Instead of wholesaling it for probably $40,000, right?
Yeah. So Larry, it's not the purpose of this course to teach people how to do these seller financing deals. Do you have a good course that people can go to and buy, and how do they get that to learn this stuff?
You know I do, don't you, Joe?
come on now. I'm telling you guys, this Larry is the master of this stuff. There's nobody better that teaches this. Where can they go, Larry?
I appreciate you saying that.
I do have a course, and we have an automated webinar you can watch anytime where we show you how to buy $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 houses and sell them for 3 to 6 times what you paid and get an average of 141% return on your money, okay? You can go to filthyriches.com. That's what we call the course because we're buying cheap houses, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 houses, and selling them for $30,000, $40,000, $60,000, $70,000. Filthyriches.com, and you can sign up for that webinar and check it out. It is great information. Even the webinar goes through multiple deals like this and analyzes deals like this.
It's not filthy houses. It's filthy
riches. Filthyriches.com. There you go.
Good. I'm telling you guys, if you have any interest in what Larry's talking about here, you want to go deeper into that. There is no better course out there teaching this strategy. Larry's been doing it for years and years. That's pretty amazing. Go check it out.
It's also the
training also shows you how to do them in your retirement account, your ESA, your HSA, because these are really cool deals. We even do some lot deals in our retirement account. I mentioned in a previous module that we do that. So you can get tremendous returns. You can get infinite yields. If you're buying a lot for $500 and you're turning around and selling it for 10 grand and getting a couple thousand dollars down, you have nothing in the deal. You put money in your account when you sold it, and you're getting cash flow every month, right?
Yep, that's good.
Real with good. No tenants, trash, termites, or toilets.
All right, that's, so our next module, we're going to be talking about marketing, right, Larry?
That's right. But before we do, Joe, can you talk a little bit about analyzing a lease option deal?
Oh, yes. Love lease options. I love me some lease options. Well, let me just say this. I'll keep it real simple. There's two different lease option strategies that I like to do. The first one is called wholesaling lease options. The second one is called sandwich lease options. And just real quickly at a high level, with a wholesale lease option, I can give the seller whatever price they want as long as they're willing to wait for it. So, and I only do lease options on nicer homes too, by the way, right? So I typically won't do a lease option on the lower end properties like Larry's talking about here. If it's over $100,000, then I'll do a lease option on it. But let's say the seller is stuck on their price. It's worth $150,000 and they owe $145,000, right? So there's no room for them. Well, I'll give them a lease option contract at $145,000. And let's say the rents in the area are $1,200 a month. I'll give them a lease option contract for $145,000 and $1,200 a month. Then I take that contract, that's my A to B lease option contract, I'm the tenant buyer, and I'm going to sell that contract to another tenant buyer, and then I'm going to step out of the deal and I'm done with it. So it's just a simple assignment. I have a lease option contract with the seller at the price that they need, and then I sell that contract to a tenant buyer for $5,000, and I'm done and out of the deal. Let's say the seller owes a little bit more than it's worth. Let's say it's worth $150 and they owe $160. Well, I still might give them a lease option contract at $160, but I'm instead of a couple of 2 years, I might do 5 years or 7 years. As long as they're willing to wait 5, 7, 10 years, I'll give them a lease option contract and I'll sell that contract for $5,000. Make a quick little profit. I'm out of the deal. I'm done. The second one is if there's a little bit more equity and if there's a little bit of cash flow. So let's say the house is worth, let me get my calculator out here. Let's say the house is worth $150 and it doesn't need any work. I will offer the seller 85% of the ARV. So I only need about 10 to 15% equity. So if it's worth $150, I might give them an offer for $127,500. Because now I got a little bit of equity in there. And then the rent, I want at least 25% of the rent for cash flow. So I want to discount the property, the price 15%, and I want to discount the rent 25%. So I get some cash flow. And that's a deal I'm going to stay in the middle of. Instead of assigning my contract away and walking away, I'm going to stay in the middle of this. So I need to have, there's three profit centers, cash now, cash flow, and cash later. So the cash now is the money I get from the tenant buyer when they move in. Cash flow, that's going to be usually $300 to $400 a month on a property that I'm paying the seller $1,000 a month to pay their mortgage payment, and I'm collecting $1,400 a month from the tenant buyer that's living
right
there. I'm keeping that spread. And then the back end profit is the difference between what I'm buying it for and what I'm selling it for. So in this example, it's worth $150. I'm going to buy it from the seller for $127,500 in 3 years, and I'm going to sell it to that tenant buyer for maybe $160,000. So I make that spread of whatever that is, $33,000.
Right.
And that's it. And it's super simple. It's a great way to control property without owning it. So if you want to do nicer homes and not have to worry about maintenance or repairs or landlord headaches, lease options allow you to control property without owning it. And they're also super easy to get out of. So if the deal goes bad, and if you can't find a tenant buyer, you have very little risk. You're not buying the house. You're not taking over the deed. So there's very little risk involved. If the deal goes bad, if the market goes south, you can get out of those deals a lot easier if you want. So if people are interested too, I'm not trying to pitch anything, but I do have a book I wrote on the subject called Wholesaling Lease Options. And if you want the book, you can get it for free. Just pay $7 shipping and handling at WLObook.com. Again, WLObook.com. And I just teach in this book how to flip lease options. And it's super simple. It's what this is a strategy I used, Larry, to quit my job back in 2009, just doing wholesaling lease option deals. So if you're interested, again, I go to WLO book for that.
And Joe is
the master on lease options. He really is. He's awesome with it. And it's a great model, a great strategy. The cool thing I like about lease options, Joe, it's not so much you analyzing the deal. It's finding a situation where it's applicable, right?
Yeah. And so that's important to tie this all in a nice, pretty bow. When you're talking to a seller, you're not going into the deal with one specific strategy in mind. You're not in the lease option business. You're not in the seller financing business. You're not in the wholesaling business. You're in the marketing business, and you're just looking for motivated sellers. So you need to talk to them, find out their situation. Instead of coming at them with a seller financing offer or a lease option offer or a cash offer, talk to them about their situation. Find out what do they really need. Like Larry said, what are they going to do with this money? And if you find out that they don't have any equity or you know they're not motivated, then you can offer a more creative financing deal. But go into it with just an open mind and say, okay, I'm here to help you, seller. And you, if you have that attitude where you're in there to help them, many times I tell sellers, Larry, maybe you should list this with a realtor. Have you thought of that? Like, because you're going to get the most price. You're going to get the most money if you list it with a realtor. You should probably just sell it on the MLS, don't you think? And I'm going for no. I want them to say, yeah, you know, I probably should list it with a realtor. Because then that's great. I can get off the phone and move on. And I can never be accused of taking advantage of a seller in an unfortunate situation. Because I'm always telling them, you should list it with the realtor because you'll make more money. Now you're going to have to fix it up. You're going to have to pay a lot of commissions. You're going to have a bunch of people walking through your house. It's going to take you 4 to 6 months. And it's going to cost a lot of money and time. But, you know, if you want the most money, that's what you should do. Would you agree?
You know, I'm glad you pointed that out because I say that to people every single day. You know, one of the questions we ask is, what's more important to you? A quick cash sale right now as is, or getting the absolute most amount of money you can out of your property, right? If they say the most amount of money, I say, okay, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do that. You know, I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. I won't be able to personally help you, but other than telling you how to get the most amount of money, here's what you do. You go through the house. You have three realtors come out and look at it and tell you everything you need to do to fix up this house. And based on what you told me, you're going to spend about $15,000 to $20,000 to fix it up. You get it. You hire contractors, make sure they're licensed, bonded, and insured, and hire contractors. Don't pay them any money up front. Wait till it's done, you know, because there's a lot of contractors that'll rip you off. Once you get the house in tip-top shape in a few months, then you pick one of those realtors and you list it with them for a year. And then after them bringing sellers through for 6 months to a year, you'll probably get an acceptable offer, right? Sometime in that time frame. And then they have to get the house appraised. You got to make sure the buyer can qualify for a loan. Then they're going to do a home inspection. Once they do a home inspection, they always come back and there's going to be a few little things that you got to fix, okay? And then you go to the closing table, and after commissions, closing costs, and the repairs that you had to make, then you'll make more money. But if you're looking for a quick cash sale right now as is and be done with it and have the money in the bank, I can probably help you.
Perfect. I love that. I hope you should stop the video, rewind it, and write down everything Larry just said. That is so good.
Yeah, that's called twisting the knife, right?
Yeah, Larry is so good at that. And you know, it's the truth. Sometimes I tell sellers, do you want the truth or do you want me to lie to you? Like, really? I just tell them, you want to be a truth giver and a truth seeker. You want to always give them the truth, and you always want to pull the truth out of them as well. And just be honest. Right. That's how you win in this game.
That is so true, Joe. It's people do business with people they know, like, and trust. So you've got to get them. You've got to let them get to know you, and you got to let them get to like you and trust you, right? So it's not just all about the numbers, the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. We said on a previous module, it's all about, in small towns especially, the relationship. If you're in a big city, people could care less. What's the bottom line? Right?
Yep.
But in small towns, it's all about the relationship. So I hope that gave you guys some really good insight as to the different things, the different ways, exit strategies that that you can use in small town properties, right? And whether it's a rental property, a fix and flip, single family, duplex, whatever it is, a double wide mobile home, a single wide mobile home, now you've got some analysis to be able to analyze your deals and know how much you can offer. Because before you can start finding deals, you need to know what is a deal, right? And that's why we went over this before finding deals.
Yeah, very good. And so our next video is going to be my favorite subject, marketing. And we're going to talk about two ways to find properties, marketing and prospecting. And Larry is one of the nation's experts in this. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Larry has to say. And sounds like you ready to go, Larry, into the next video?
Yeah, man. Let's get her done.
All right.